Welcome to Coaching Uncaged, the podcast that pushes the boundaries of the coaching profession with cutting-edge practitioners, authors, and thought leaders. Coaching Uncaged brings you pioneering thinking to enrich the art and science of coaching in all its forms. And now, introducing your host, Robert Stevenson.
Hey, Prince, it's great to have you here on the Animus podcast. Thank you for coming down. And so why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, your work with shift coaching? I mean, I've just thrown loads of questions at you all at the same time.
So yeah.
Wherever you want to start.
Well, I mean, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Obviously, it's a huge privilege to get to be on the podcast, which is really exciting. And I'm loving the studio. The vibe is like on
set
point.
Up.
Yeah. I run shift coaching, which I set up about, 2 years ago after training with Animus, which was an amazing experience. And I really wanted to, set something up that really focused on the creative industry. That's my background. Like I started out as a graphic designer and then went into business development and then like became a touring artist like for like 15 years. So I've always had like a hand in that sort of creative space
yeah.
and really, kind of recognize the potential of people in the creative industries to make a big change in society. And so to be able to engage with and support those people in that space was really important to me. And so I set up Shift. And I guess the other thing is I wanted to set up a company, as in like not just me. I realized that there's a lot of value added from having different people from different perspectives with different skill sets in coaching. And so that was really, really critical to me. And so kind of Shift came into being, and I kind of came to Animus with the sense that I wanted to set up a coaching company. So that was in the creative industries field. So that was quite helpful, quite a helpful North Star to have.
So you work with creatives. Was that something that you chose to do? Was that a niche that you decided to go into, or did it just come because of your background?
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. So it's a bit of both. Obviously, like my background helped with that. So I feel like I had a real passion for the creative industries and for people working in that space. But I remember like whilst I was on the course, like we had that moment on the business part of the course where they talk about niching. And I just remember having such a strong negative reaction to the idea. I was like, niching? That sounds like a dumb idea. I guess the thing is that I'm quite an opportunist. And so from a business perspective, I like to sort of kind of think, oh, I want to take every opportunity. I want to, you know, make things as open and expansive as possible. And so I really, really struggled with the idea. I was like, I'm not sure if this is a great idea. And I kind of, I actually decided that I wasn't, which is crazy given that I knew I wanted to be in the music space. But what happens subsequently is that you get out into the space and you start talking about what you do and trying to convince people that coaching is going to help them. And you realize that it can be quite a nebulous thing to talk about. It's kind of like, you know, people can struggle to get their heads around it. And so having that clarity of this is what I do and this is the difference that I make to this specific set of people is really helpful, because I think one of the things, because it helps your, you know, it helps your potential clients to really know kind of, okay, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to work, and this is applicable to me. But it also helps you as an individual to be able to articulate that. And I think one of the things that I've realized through the process is that the tools and skills that I learned through through Animus and through coaching are really helpful and really expansive, and they can help anybody. I can use them on anybody.
Yeah.
But they're most effective when I align them with my own personal background and skill sets and target them at a group of people that are going to get real impact out of that. And so it's been really, really helpful actually to really narrow down not just the industry, but the specifics within the industry and the specific outcomes that we help as an organization to create for our clients.
Lovely, love it. So you had the idea from day one of what you kind of wanted to do, and then Animus just kind of helped you to, I guess, craft that and shape that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, certainly like the skills learned through the course were like really critical. I had like a lot of informal experience of coaching through like my sort of career over the years. But I think really to get those like the tools and the language and the approach and really get to practice the art of coaching from great professionals was really invaluable. And so there's so much that I got from the experience and so much that it helped me to bring together in terms of starting a business and coaching myself into getting a business off the ground as well.
And that's really interesting that you talked about a business with other people, because a lot of coaches will begin with just themselves having their own coaching practice and that being their business, and perhaps over time they expand into something else. So tell me a little bit about sort of what drove you to have a business with other people and how that's kind of working out for you now.
Yeah, so there was a bunch of things really. I think one of the things is how I'm wired. I know like I like to work in community and I think I enjoy working with others. And so I think that was definitely like a prerequisite. I was like, I want to have a community. I don't want to be like Jack Jones out on my own. But I think the other thing is just kind of, I just had lots of friends in that space and people that I really kind of like. If I'm really honest, I had one of those moments where I just kind of thought, who do I want in my life? You know, who are the people that I want to be close to and like have that kind of level of involvement and engagement with? And that was definitely like a big part of it. I was like, these are people that I really, really like would love to be working with. And then it was just, you know, these are also guys that have a lot of skill and a lot of ability. So that was from a very personal level, that was what did help that decision. But the other level was also a business decision, because I kind of felt like I want the business to be able to service larger clients and to be able to access sort of maybe sort of small to medium sized businesses. And I realized actually that the needs of those organizations might exceed my personal capacity and my personal skill set. And so it was really important to be able to offer a diverse range of coaches, but who have a similar niche and similar outlook.
Nice. And I really love that bit about, you know, it was personal to you and it was about who do I want to spend my time with? Because I think sometimes when people are running businesses or setting things up like that, they don't think about, well, who do I want to spend time with? They think about who's the right person for the job in terms of who has the skill for the job.
Yeah, totally. And I think it really, really comes back to like me and like my understanding of myself. So I spent, I guess, probably 15 years of my life in a touring band, touring like UK, Europe, a bit of the States. And I did that with basically like three of my best friends from like secondary school. And like literally we did, you know, tour buses together. We did stages together. We did like, you know. And so like I realized that I'm really like accustomed to like having a team and working with people that I really love and really respect. And I just kind of thought, actually, if I'm going to start a business and it's going to be for the long haul, actually, I realize that's really important to me. So it was quite a simple decision, really.
Yeah. And it's what's funny is I hadn't realized that before this conversation, because that's really similar to my journey before becoming a coach. So I'm classified as a physical theater touring company with my two best friends, Steve and Isaac. And we just kind of traveled together and did stuff together. Yeah. There was something about having such a tight knit community working with you that allowed you to deal with the challenges and the adversities that come along when you're running a business.
Yeah, definitely. And you just get the benefit of different types of people, don't you? So I am by nature not a finisher. You know, I'm a great starter. I'm a great at having an idea, like getting things started. That's where my energy, my passion is. I'm not really a maintainer. And so you need people in a business who are maintainers, but who are also, you know, that you really get on with.
Yeah.
So just even from that perspective of like understanding the importance of diversity and variety.
Yeah.
Really
nice. And I think that's really, you know, useful for people listening to this that are coaches or people thinking about setting up businesses to kind of recognize, so who am I in this, and where are my skills, what are my strengths, and so where do I need the right support to make this work and to move this forward? Because I think a lot of the time we don't always consider that. We kind of just begin and then see what's happening, as opposed to kind of looking at the detail of it, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think what touches into that is this idea of equitability. And so I kind of felt like, yeah, there are loads of people who start out on their own and do their own thing. And that's great. If that's what you want to do, do that. But I felt like, oh, actually, like these other sort of team members are people who have got great skills, who could offer great benefit to the business. And really what I had to think about was how I structured the businesses in such a way that it was equitable for them as well, that that they gain benefit from being associated with the brand, but also that it worked for the business. So I don't employ anybody, I have associate like partners basically. And so it's just kind of, when you have a blank sheet of paper, it's, you can kind of figure out, well, what do I want to do, what do I want to achieve, and what's the best way for me to do that.
Lovely. And so you've got various coaches that work with you in your business, or associates, partners, and you service the creative industries with a lot of the coaching that you do. So tell me a little bit about, how did you get into that space?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like any other business. It's like we're still finding our way in, you know. It's easy for, and I think it's important to say this, for anybody who does go to the website, which is shiftcoaching.life, it's easy to look at these things and be like, oh, wow, it's a business, it's established. And that's the great thing about having a website. That's kind of what it does for you. It gives you that sense of, you know, the onlooker, that sense of, oh, this is something for real. But, you know, like, we're still working at it. Like, the business is still developing. I'm constantly like looking for clients and constantly, you know, trying to make new connections. What helped for me, obviously, is that I had a background in the space. And so literally lots of contacts, other artists, people who know of my music and my work, to just kind of say, hey, here I am, this is the company, this is what we're doing. And so that's been it, really. As it stands, it's really just been my personal network.
I think people forget how important that is to you know, delve into that personal network, to ask for favors and connections and get people to link you together with others.
Yeah, it's so critical. You know, in business terms, it's the low-hanging fruit, isn't it? It's that, you know, if you're going to go to an orchard and pick apples off a tree, you know, start with what you can reach. And so really, without sort of begging, but really recognizing that, you know, I've got value to add, you know, with all of my experience and background and with this company, being able to, with confidence, say, hey, look, this is us, this is what we do, this is what we can do. And being able to point to a few early wins, you know, so having, you know, had a few clients that I've had like good success with in terms of them achieving their goals and outcomes.
So tell us a little bit about some of those early wins, sharing the information that you're allowed to share, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had some crazy things happen like straight off the bat. So I had one of those classic moments where I went to speak at a conference, which a friend invited me to, which was amazing. And I spoke around, the title was something like, Why Did I Show Up Today? So it was about performance in the workspace, and it was lots of music industry execs. And somebody came up to me afterwards and was like, oh, I have this little network thing that I'd love for you to come and speak out. Would you come and do it? I was like, yeah, you kind of approach these things with a little bit of like, okay, where's this going? It's going down the I want you to come and speak for free route. I was like, okay, cool, fine. And I think that's important, like the whole thing of generosity with your gifts and with your skills anyway. So I got to this talk, it was like a month later, and I did it, and it was all fine, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, cool. About a week later, I got an email from somebody who'd been at it, asking if I'd do some coaching with them. And that was really, really cool. I was like, yeah, sure. But it turns out that this particular character was basically like a BAFTA award-winning, I'm going to say artist. If I say more than that, it'll get too much
away. Let's do artist.
I ended up doing some work with this particular client, and it just kind of went really, really well, you know, in terms of the goals that they had that they wanted to achieve, and the relationship and rapport that we were able to strike up. And so, like, really from the offset, that was a really cool credit for the company, in terms of, okay, this is one of the things that we've done, you know, this is the kind of level, I guess, really the level that we're sort of working at. And then since that, there've just been like just various opportunities that have opened up, and a lot of them have come through sort of looking for speaking engagements, looking for things that are sort of platform moments that help sort of raise profile, I suppose, of the company.
And that's it's lovely to hear that, you know, just saying yes to opportunities. You know, somebody says, will you come and speak? And it's like, oh, it's for free, but okay, I can do it. And just saying yes to that and seeing where those yeses go and seeing where they sort of turn out. And nice that you've kind of gone, right, that's my platform. The speaking space is the platform for us as an organization to kind of expand and grow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of them. I think that I enjoy public speaking, so it kind of works for me. But, you know, like those gigs don't come around all the time. You have to sort of like put in energy. But I think a lot of, you know, things are growing also just by word of mouth as well. So it's kind of people talking to people and encouraging clients to kind of, you know, talk about the impact that it's had, the work that we've had has had on them. And it's one of those interesting, it's a tentative thing, because I think in some senses, like, some people are really cool to be like, I've got a coach and it's not a worry. But for some people, it still has maybe a stigma maybe attached to it. And so kind of figuring out how you approach that with an individual, because, you know, you might have spent like 3 or 4 months, you know, working with somebody and, you know, hopefully they've had some positive results and you want them to talk about it. But at the same time, you want to respect them and how they feel about the whole thing. So it's a... it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it still surprises me today that how people, how different the response is to talking about having a coach and how people feel about that. Yeah, just an interesting state of play, I guess, around coaching and what it means for people.
Yeah, and I think I've found often it's linked to, you know, it can be linked to what you are coaching. You know, sometimes if people are going through difficult or sensitive things, that's obviously difficult. But also it's personality types, isn't it? Some people are just like happy to talk and some aren't.
And I think there's also your sort of your experience of coaching or what you've heard about coaching. Because if you think coaching is about when you're broken, then you don't necessarily want to share to the world that you feel broken. But if you recognize that coaching is about change and transformation and growth, then it feels, hey, I'm growing and I'm willing to put that work in and I'm okay to talk about that. So I think there's also something about what you think coaching is or what your peer group feel coaching might be about.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And and sometimes, you know, I think particularly when you are starting a business, it's harder to be picky and choosy about clients, although I think that you do have to some degree, but there is a little bit more of an impetus to be like, oh, I want to work with, you know, because I want to build this business. And so you can get a sense about people, can't you, when you start to talk to them and what they're coming with and just their vibe, like how that might go. But I think, you know, ultimately, I think as a coach, my aim and the aim for the company is that we put people first and that we put the client's needs first and just trust that the rest will come.
Trust the rest will come. Yeah. Lovely, lovely. So what's next for Princh and Shift?
Shift Coaching.
Coaching.
What's next for Shift Coaching? Well, I think really it's just trying to just keep moving in terms of growing the business, finding new clients. And so of the last year, we've done a fair amount of one-to-one work. but I think we're beginning to move more into sort of trying to find when I say corporate clients, it has the wrong connotation. I think working more with businesses probably. And so we've just kind of bagged our sort of first kind of contract in that space.
Nice.
Although we've had lots of conversations, you know, like this is one of the things about the coaching space, you have loads and loads of conversations and you kind of think, oh, this one's going to come off and then it doesn't. And you kind of think, oh, this one might come off and it doesn't. But you have to keep at it. And so we have are working with a consortium of hip hop theatre companies who are putting on a training course for producers, makers of hip hop theatre. And it's a one year course, and as part of the development process they have put coaching into that.
Wonderful.
So it's for mid-career professionals, and so as a company we're going to be delivering that, and that's really, really exciting. And that's kind of been the fruit of several conversations and, you know, sort of positioning and kind of, I think we could help here. And it's exciting to see that come through. So that'll be our first kind of business to business kind of coaching relationship, which is really exciting. And I hope that it will provide a case study that gives us something to speak about.
That sounds amazing. I look forward to hearing all about that once that kind of,
Once it lands, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I look forward to hearing more about it once you've kind of gone through that process and are able to kind of share more of the case studies with us.
Yes. I think the course is due to start in like April this year. So, and it'll be like a 12-month project, and then there's a subsequent one the following year, which hopefully we'll get asked back for.
Cool. So we can revisit this next year and see how that went. And I love the idea that, you know, in order to make that happen, there were conversations that had to be had and other things didn't quite pan out. But you've got to keep going. You've got to keep pushing, keep persevering to kind of make this work.
Mm. Yeah. Do you know what? As you were saying that, I was just thinking about some of the conversations that didn't work out. And it's a funny thing because I think being on Animas, one of the things that I learned was obviously the being reflective, like really this question about what's going on in me, like, and how am I showing up? And I had a couple of meetings with, which were really, really interesting and, you know, awkward, to be honest, like some business meetings. Because when you're kind of trying to explain what you do as a coach, it is quite a nebulous concept sometimes, because it's not like, oh, A has this problem and I do this and that fixes the problem.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of meetings where really that's kind of what the sort of company were looking for. They were looking for a solution. Mm. But it's, you know, coaching is an art and it's about people and everybody has, you know, different stuff. And so in those early conversations, and they were quite kind of near when we started the business, it was really kind of difficult to sort of know how to articulate the difference that we make and how that works in practice. And so I found myself kind of really scrambling for the right language, but also trying to conform to the linguistic expectations of this perspective business, you know, trying to speak in their language. And it just didn't work. It was awful. I was like, well, what we done? Are we, well, I think it was just a mess. And this guy is looking at me like, you know, just like deadpan staring at me. And I was like, oh man. And I came away and I thought about it and I just realized actually that was not a fit. Even if I'd said all the right things, that space and what the style and what they were looking for isn't really what I was about and what the company was about. And we probably wouldn't have thrived in that space. And I think just being able to, and it was like gutting because it was like, oh, we're not going to get that job. But coming away from it and then having other conversations where you just kind of feel like, in fact, it was on the very same day I had another meeting with another company. I walked in and we had a conversation for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it just flowed. And it just felt like these guys get it. They understand what we are, what we're about. The values and approach seem so aligned. It just felt like, oh, wow. It's not me. It's not that I'm mis-explaining. It's just actually that wasn't a fit.
Yeah.
Long answer to a short question. I think it's about appreciating that you've got to find the fit for you and for your business and where you're going to add value in the right way. And that's not everywhere.
Brilliant. That's an awesome answer to that question. It's been a real pleasure having this conversation with you today. Could you just let us know, you know, where can we find you? Share your website again for us. That'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. So we're online, www.shiftcoaching.life. And that's probably the best way to find us. And it'd be great to hear from people. And that'd be cool.
Cool. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
If you'd like to watch these episodes as well as listen, you can find the video interviews on our YouTube channel and website now. Thanks for tuning in to Coaching Uncaged. Join us again for more captivating conversations, exploring the art of coaching.